You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good morning, friend. Welcome in hour two of the Mike Allen Show. My pleasure to be with you here on this Tuesday, August 30th. No matter how your day's starting, God's mercy is new and real as it was on Calvary. And someday, someplace near you today, that once and for all sacrifice of our Lord will be made present anew in the sacrifice of the Mass. So if you have an opportunity to get there, get there. Here in just about 15 minutes, we're going to be talking to a father and a son, Marcus Grody, who founded the organization, the Coming Home Network, after his own experience of his own journey to the Catholic faith from his life as a Presbyterian pastor. His son, John Mark, was, I think, 6 or 7 at the time that he entered the church. John Mark, who is now the director of the Coming Home Network organization, which has grown and become really a tremendous ministry that assists people on their journey into the Catholic faith. And Marcus continues on as president. Of course, Marcus also the host of a show you may have seen on the Catholic station EWTN called Journeys Home, or The Journey Home, on which he interviews people who have been found themselves on that path of becoming Catholic and now look back and reflect. He also has hosted a show called Deep in Scripture on Catholic radio as well. So really looking forward to the conversation. This sort of brokered by Matt Swaim, who's been a regular guest on the program, who now works for the Coming Home Network. So we'll be talking to Marcus and John Mark. If you've got a question or a comment, you can send it to me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, or you can post it on social media or on Twitter, or you can even call during this first segment once we get them both on the line. We are a two-line station, so those will be taken up. But 573-4BREAD-4 if you want to chime in with a comment or a question. I am asking a question today. Who do you think has a harder job, the Pope or the President? Pope Francis or President Obama or President whoever it will be, Clinton or Trump? Did I just really say that? Anyway, 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. We'll also talk about a heresy that is almost right and a quote I'm not sure I agree with. We'll also spin the Dalek Catechism wheel. All that and more coming up, or you can chime in on anything else. You can also listen to podcasts of previous shows, by the way, or check out what we're doing through this digital enterprise called Breadbox Media at breadboxmedia.com. Become friends of your favorite shows. All the rest, you can check it all out at breadboxmedia.com. The reading today, taken from 1 Corinthians 2, first Mass reading, we have moved from the prophets now in ordinary time here during the daily Mass readings. The first reading is taken from epistles or letters of St. Paul, and we've moved now into 1 Corinthians. His letter is a lengthy letter to a very complicated Christian community. Let's just say that about the church at Corinth. Anybody who wants to glamorize the New Testament church is not making an honest reading of the New Testament, by the way. You hear this sometimes in some circles. We need to get back to an Acts chapter 2 church. An Acts chapter 2 church. Talking about the book of Acts chapter 2 and the wonderful vision of the early community. And how, you know, the 3,000 were baptized on the day of Pentecost and they entered and shared in table fellowship and the teaching of the apostles and so forth and the Eucharist. It was a glorious vision. But in some ways, it's sort of like everybody gets along well. Well, most people do at the wedding reception. It's then in the living together that ends up refining off rough edges. That's why I always think, you know, fairy tales that end with they lived happily ever after don't really tell us the whole story, because a wedding is not a graduation. It is and entering into a whole new reality. Anyway, I'm digressing. The Corinthians, though, an interesting mix. And like I said, don't overly romanticize the early church. They had their problems, too. But St. Paul here in 1 Corinthians 2, brothers and sisters, the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. Among men, who knows what pertains to the man except his spirit that is within? Similarly, no one knows what pertains to God except the Spirit of God. We've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand the things freely given by God. And we speak about them not with words taught by human wisdom, but with words taught by the Spirit, describing spiritual realities in spiritual terms. So the natural man does not accept what pertains to the Spirit of God, for to him it is foolishness, and he cannot understand it because it is judged spiritually. The one who is spiritual, however, can judge everything, but is not subject to judgment by anyone. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to counsel him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's a passage that talks a lot about this really wisdom, this spiritual wisdom that comes from having the Spirit of God within us. You know, if you look at the full context of this passage, even a couple verses before this, verse 7, St. Paul says, "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glorification." It's in essence St. Paul saying, look, to be a Christian, to be one who has received through one's baptism and the laying on of hands, to have received the gift of the Spirit, is to have an elevated insight into spiritual things that can only be discerned by the Spirit of God living within us. Now, when you look at this, you can sort of, again, and I'm not a biblical scholar or theologian or anything, but one of the heresies or false understandings or teaching that the church has always fought against, and like all false teachings or heresies, it repackages itself afresh in really every generation. That this in this this heresy of Gnosticism. Now the word Gnosticism or gnosis, which is the root of it, is a word that simply means knowledge. You know, this is why when you call someone or when someone identifies themselves as an agnostic, Gnostic means knowledge, add the A in the front, negation, right? So to be an agnostic when it comes to matters of faith or really any other issue is to say, look, I just simply don't know. I'm professing that this is a mystery to me, an agnostic. So a Gnostic is just the opposite. A Gnostic believes that he or she has received a sort of special insight or wisdom that no one else has. It's the idea that there is a secret, and the person who knows the secret of life and has been given sort of this special insight is among sort of a spiritually elite. Gnostics also set up a false dualism between the body and the soul and simply believed the immaterial to be good. It was the material. It was our bodies, for example, or the universe itself that was an expression of something lesser. This is how it's defined here on this one website online. A prominent heretical movement of the second century Christian church, partly of pre-Christian origin, thought the world was created and ruled by a lesser divinity. Why? Because material things are less than ideal, and that Christ was the emissary of the remote supreme divine being. So esoteric knowledge of whom enabled the redemption of the human spirit. Jesus came to impart this secret knowledge. As I said, this idea repackages itself in the second century, in Shirley MacLaine, in books like The Secret, whatever, we have somehow acquired some sort of secret knowledge. And the idea in Gnosticism is that this knowledge really is found within this light or kingdom that is within each other, within each of us. Christian Gnosticism was the idea that Jesus came as the to impart this secret knowledge to us. Now, it's been said, and I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said, the problem with heresies is not that they are wrong, but that they are almost, that they're not entirely wrong, that they are almost right. They tap into something, something that is true, and that is that there is a knowledge and a wisdom that we are not capable of our own. It is a knowledge or wisdom that comes through the Spirit, who is given to all those who belong to Christ. But it's not in competition with our flesh. In fact, it animates and strengthens us as we live as embodied persons, which is our eternal destiny. But I think it's interesting to see that little hint there in that passage there. This, we do need a knowledge that is beyond ourselves, but that knowledge is not because of some secret light that dwells in us by our nature, but that comes to us from without, from Christ himself. As St. Paul even says more radically at the end of this passage, we have the mind of Christ. So we have the ability by his grace to discern truth from error. And he's given us a church to guide us. Speaking of that church and those being drawn to it, we'll be back in just a minute with Marcus Grody and Jean-Marc Grody, who are assisting those on that journey. This is The Mike Allen Show.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Minutes past the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show. Here on this Tuesday, August 30th, we are currently efforting our guests here, Marcus Grody. I'll go ahead and give you a brief bio of each. Marcus Grody, who is author, speaker, president of the Coming Home Network, and the host of EWTN's The Journey Home program, also has had a radio program called Deep in Scripture. He founded the Coming Home Network himself after entering the Catholic Church. After being a Presbyterian pastor in the Presbyterian Church USA, he's the author of several books, including How Firm a Foundation and his recent book, Life from Our Land. His son, Jean-Marc, who I think was about six or seven, we'll get it clarified here in just a minute, when Marcus entered the Catholic Church, and Jean-Marc, now the director of the Coming Home Network, which is based out of Zanesville, Ohio. And I think we have them both on the phone now, Alex. Marcus and Jean-Marc, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we'll see if we can get this worked out. Marcus and Jean-Marc, good morning.
Morning.
We got you both here?
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem.
I think so. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you here. Jean-Marc, for those who maybe are not familiar with the Coming Home Network, give us a quick synopsis of what the Coming Home Network is about.
Sure thing. Well, the Coming Home Network is a Catholic apostolate started by my father as a network of support for non-Catholic Christians who are on the journey to the Catholic Church. In the beginning, it started with a very specific focus on pastors, and that focus remains, but it's broadened a bit to be a network of support and resources for anyone who's on the journey. So we help them along the journey in a variety of different ways. We have resources. We share their stories. And the website is www.chnetwork.org for more information about that.
Yeah, I was sharing in the last hour, I've got, of course, a very personal connection myself to the Coming Home Network, mm-hmm. because back 11 years ago or 12 years ago or so, when I was really on the journey from being a Methodist pastor to entering the Catholic Church, I discovered, Marcus, I'll just tell you, and I may have told you this before, but when I'd kind of come to that place that a lot of people do, from moving from curiosity to then attraction to the Catholic faith. And I went to a large bookstore, sort of like a Barnes & Noble, on my birthday with a gift card. Someone from my Methodist congregation had given me a card. And one of two books I came home with that night, one was Peter Kraef's Catholic Christianity, which really gave me an overall vision of the Catholic faith. And the second one I came home with was Journeys Home, which was a collection of of testimonies. And I started reading these testimonies. I felt like I was alone on this journey. I didn't know anybody who'd been on a similar journey. And I started reading these. I was like, oh my goodness, other people have walked this path and they're articulating what I feel. So I just want to say personally, thank you for your great work, because it certainly assisted me in my journey.
Well, I appreciate that. And what you've pinpointed is the very reason that the Coming Home Network exists, because you know from experience that as a Protestant pastor, lifelong Protestant, which I was also, we just never heard of other Protestant clergy and even laity being interested at all in the Catholic Church, let alone converting to the Church. And part of that is the struggle of the man or woman on the journey, because let's say, as you were, a Methodist minister, all of a sudden being interested in the Catholic Church, who do you talk to? You're not going to talk to fellow Methodists or Protestants who are not really interested. And on the other hand, you don't know any Catholics. And sadly today, many Catholics that you talk to are not prepared to help a non-Catholic into the Church. One of the things we've heard so often over the last 20 years is men and women on the journey tell us that when they've talked to a local priest or someone at the local diocese office, they're told, well, you know, since Vatican II, you don't have to convert anymore.
Right.
And so they're not getting much help. So that was the reason for the Coming Home Network. We're not here to push, pull, or prod anybody into the Church. We're not assuming black and white that the only destination for a non-Catholic Christian is to come home to the Church. We're really helping them discern, what is God calling them to do? How has God already gifted them to serve, maybe where they're at? But if they, in their heart and conscience, are being drawn to the Church, then our job is to help them discern how they're going to come into the Church, how they're going to continue to serve. And as you also know, it's not always easy after you come into the Church.
Well, and that's absolutely true. There are a lot of relational dynamics, of course, vocational, career, economic considerations, all the rest. Now, you sort of did the heavy lifting, because you yourself, former Presbyterian Church USA pastor, found yourself on a journey. There was no Coming Home Network. Now, John Mark, I'll ask you, are you old enough to remember? How old were you when your dad made this decision, your dad and your mom made this decision to become Catholic? Because I'm pretty sure you were old enough to remember it, right?
Just a little bit, images here. And I do remember, the churches that we were in. I do remember dad being up in the pulpit, but I remember quite a bit more of being new Catholics and beginning to run in those circles and meet new people and meet lots of other people who were making similar journeys to Dan.
It's, I remember my oldest daughter, I think she was 11, and she said to my wife and I, because we'd kept this secret for them, she said, all you all seem to talk about anymore is the Catholic Church. It's like we're going to become Catholic or something. And and we had this just enough of a pause, sort of stunned look on her face that she put the pieces together. And so she was pretty upset at first. I'll tell you that. It does change the dynamic of the family and the identity of the family and so many things. So I guess.
I remember when John Mark, I vaguely remember him saying something like that he was going to be unhappy that I wouldn't be a pastor anymore, that I wouldn't be up there in the pulpit. And I remember his comment, I don't remember word for word, but I remember it paralleling what I was thinking myself, because I love to preach. I love to teach scripture study, and my goal in life was to help others discover Jesus Christ. And I worried that I wouldn't have that opportunity again. And Mike, you and I both, you know, we laugh a little bit because God's sense of humor. I mean, now when I do a Journey Home program, one program, I reach more people than I ever would have my entire career as a Protestant minister. So, I mean, God has a great sense of humor. Here you are on the radio, because you don't know what God might open for you in the future. You just have to trust.
Absolutely. And, of course, and one of the things you realize, too, and this is truth, we're all free persons. We all have our own interior journey, and that includes, you know, John Mark, you growing up, as we know, you may grow up with parents who are passionate about the Catholic faith and about following Christ through the Catholic Church, but you have to have your own journey. So,
right.
John Mark, talk a little bit about that, because yours
sure.
wasn't necessarily a journey into the church from outside, but still you had to come to discover Christ and the fullness of this truth.
Yeah, so, I mean, I never had to wrestle with Catholicism versus any other Christian denomination. That was pretty much settled. I'd heard enough of all that. But I did get to my time in, you know, my teen years, approaching college, began asking the bigger questions about life and about the faith and about God. And realized that I really, really wanted Catholicism to be true. You know, I liked where we were, and I liked the culture, and I liked the morality, and I did love God, but I had never really asked whether God was there. I had never really asked what the church proposed to me as faith. You know, what did it mean for me to have faith? Because that's the kind of word that gets used in so many different ways. You know, I remember one of my early college classes, a philosophy class, you know, an evangelical girl standing up and saying, well, I know that God exists because I have faith. And at that time in my life, that didn't make any sense to me, because I was trying to, you know, make sure that God existed so that I could put my faith in him. So learning about what the church actually meant by faith was part of my journey. I wanted to know, you know, did faith mean, you know, just believing something that I wasn't really convinced of until I died, and then just finding out later whether it was true? Or, you know, did it really mean this growth in interior life, this coming to know God and Jesus Christ more and more? You know, the examples that we have in the great saints, is that what is offered to me? Is that what's promised to me? Or is that the exception? Is that more than I can hope for? You know, and for me, it was a lot of study. It was, you know, getting into the catechism, getting to know, as many people learn, that the church has asked all these questions far, far more in greater ways than I have, than I could ever think of them. So learning more what the church taught, and then spending more time, you know, getting into the sacraments, spending more time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, bringing those questions to God. And my conversion, or my small adult conversion experience, wasn't anything stupendous. It was just a slow, you know, returning to the sacraments and listening and encountering God in prayer.
Well, it is life is an ongoing conversion for sure. And now that you have a family of your own as well, and a wife, and is it two or three children?
Three children.
All right. So all kind of adventures ahead in that regard as well. Isn't that right, Marcus?
Yeah.
For sure. We're coming up on a break. We're going to have to take about a 3-minute break. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. Here I am with Marcus Grudai, the founder and the president of the Coming Home Network, his son, John Mark Grudai, who is the director of the Coming Home Network. Great organization dedicated to accompanying people toward the Catholic faith. We'll be back in just a minute. This is the Mike Allen Show. You're listening to Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
hour back on the Mike Allen Show here on Breadbox Media, here with my guests, John Mark Grodi, who is the director of the Coming Home Network, and Marcus Grodi, who is the founder and president of the Coming Home Network, an organization that exists to help inquiring non-Catholic clergy and laity come home and then be at home in the Catholic Church, based in Zanesville, Ohio. You could check out their ministry at chnetwork.org, chnetwork.org. So, John Mark, for people who go onto the Coming Home Network website, who maybe they've come across this this program, they've been listening for a while, they're curious about the Catholic faith, what are some resources through the Coming Home Network, through the website and so forth, that they could find of help?
Sure. Well, they'll find, first of all, one of the largest collections of conversion stories in various formats, I think anywhere available on the web. Journey Home programs that are archived and sortable by denomination, written stories, short interviews, as well as, you know, some various types of resources on, you know, the usual topics that people study on their way into the church. There are the Church Fathers, the Eucharist, things like that. But the other aspect of the work, which people will find there, are a variety of opportunities for those on the journey and those who've made the journey before, opportunities for fellowship between converts and those on the journey. We have, you know, one-to-one connections with our staff members who are there to help people. We also have a Helpers Network, which is a network of converts that our staff can connect people to individually so that they have some friends to talk to on the way into the church. We also have a whole online community with forums and private discussion groups from people of different denominational backgrounds, as well as information about retreats that we hold in different parts of the U.S. So, you know, really the resources and stories on the one hand, but, you know, a lot of opportunities for personal connection for people on the journey is what people can expect to find at the website.
Yeah, it really is just an outstanding resource. I got an opportunity to attend a couple of your Deep in History conferences that you had, which opened up a whole new window into history that we oftentimes don't get, the Catholic history of this country, for example. So really, really good. We were talking a little bit off the break, you know, that there are people, I maybe equate it a little bit to marriage. I do a lot of work with engaged couples, and I always tell them marriage is not a graduation, or a wedding is not a graduation. It is an entering into a whole new reality. I think about people who become Catholic, who find themselves on this journey, who oftentimes maybe read their way in. Maybe they get exposed to the Catholic faith through some great Catholic work of literature or something, and they begin that journey intellectually. They fall in love, as I said in the break, with the idea of the Catholic Church, which is a glorious, compelling, comprehensive, panoramic vision, really. Then they enter into what I would say, you know, the reality of the church, because the church is always being reformed and all the rest. Do you help people with that, which I guess for some could be maybe a little bit disillusioning at times?
Yeah, I mean, that's a wonderful question. And obviously, with the short time we have to be condensed. Because one thing I wanted to ask you, Mike, I don't want to detract, but during the break, I heard this really wild guitar riff. Was that you in the studio?
No. Sorry.
Okay, I was just wondering. I was picturing you in the studio doing at least an air guitar or something to that.
But I do play a mean saxophone, but I haven't had the courage to bring that into the studio yet.
Well, maybe in the future we'll hear that in the break.
But, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you know, I think for this average person, average non-Catholic Christian, who, by the grace of God, has already been gifted with a faith in Jesus Christ, a love of Scripture, trying to live out their life. There's 100,000 of those of our brothers and sisters around the country who have no interest in the Catholic Church at all. And when God, in His mercy, in His love for every individual soul, then by grace opens their heart and mind for a variety of reasons, books, whatever, then they get drawn to the church, And for the average person, they come in and then they're moving towards the fullness, as you said. It's not just the end, it's the beginning of a journey with Jesus Christ in the fullness of his sacraments, of the fullness of the truth of the church, the fullness of understanding of Catholic morality and living that and spirituality. That's a wonderful journey, and that's what Coming Home Network there is helping discover that. But there's a unique group of people that I've come to appreciate over the last 25 years of this work, and that is that clergy who not only by the gift of God's grace came to a faith in Jesus Christ, a love of Scripture, a love of service, a willingness to give up the other careers that are out there, to give their life, to go to seminary, to be trained, to follow the call of God, to serve, to proclaim the gospel. When they also, through a gift of grace, are awakened to the church, the Catholic Church, it's a bigger upheaval in their life than for a layperson. And there's a lot of layers of conundrums of decisions and responsibilities. What about my family? They don't want to become Catholic. But maybe the biggest issue is, what about my calling? Why did God call me to seminary in the first place? Why did God call me to be a pastor to serve these people? And our work is to help that. And you know, Mike, that how do you discern God's will for your life? And the issue is that as a non-Catholic Christian, there are different ways that people think you discern God's will. And then as a Catholic, you learn from Catholic spirituality. Well, there's maybe a better way to discern God's will. So part of our goal is to help non-Catholic Christian clergy on the journey start thinking like a Catholic before they're a Catholic, so they can clearly discern whether God is calling them in the church. Because I've come to the conclusion that the number one reason, if God is going to call a Protestant minister to leave his pastorate, to leave his calling, to come in the Catholic Church, the number one reason is not because God wants that guy to use his gifts in the church. The number one reason is for the salvation of his soul. That person, for whatever reason, God realized that at that time in his life, this man needs the sacraments. Because the one thing we recognize is the majority of Protestant ministers in America do not seem to be hearing from God a call to become Catholic. Maybe 1% of the Protestant ministers in America show any interest in the Catholic Church. In fact, just recently in our database, we reached the level of 1,000, we have in our database 1,000 Protestant ministers who've become Catholic that we've been in communication with. And you can add to that maybe another 2,000 who have been on the journey, who've started, are still on the journey, who've given up, have said, no, this is not where God's calling me to be. If you add that numbers up, that's about 3,000 non-Catholic clergy in America. There are over 550,000 Protestant ministers in America. So we ask the question, what's God doing? Why is he doing this? And I think one of the reasons is that the majority of Americans would never hear the gospel from a Catholic. And we've got a lot of work to do. And so, but God loves those people. So God raises up the Billy Grahams and the Franklin Grahams and the C.S. Lewises and great witnesses for the faith of Jesus Christ to reach people for Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, we Catholics got to get our act together and be a better witness to our separated brethren, so God can use our witness to draw these men and women home.
So yeah, and let's talk about that for just a minute, John Mark, because you, I'm sure, as the director, as someone who's kind of on the ground floor of what's happening every day with the Coming Home Network, you're hearing some of these stories. I'm sure you're having some of these conversations. What are some of the pressing issues that the Coming Home Network's dealing with right now in terms of people who are on that journey?
Well, I think, again, very, very generally, although what gets a lot of attention in this kind of area is more the apologetic type issues, you know, and those types of discussions, which are important and they have their place. For most people, that's not what a lot of their journey is spent in. You know, they read a good book, they have a good conversation, or they start studying and they become convinced, you know, or they become very convicted. Really, the rest of their journey is not a whole lot of, you know, interminable apologetics, you know, debates or discussions. For most people, it's a lot of practical issues. It's, you know, that I've never met a priest before. I don't know how to become Catholic. I don't know what RCA is. I don't know anybody I can talk to about this. So one of the reasons for our mission is that we want to make sure that everybody has people, a personal connection for their journey. And that's what we see with a lot of people, just having a staff member that they're in email or phone communication with, or having the online community, or attending a retreat. Oftentimes that's the biggest thing that they can, that they, through which they work through some of their barriers and their baggage, and they're able to discern clearly and get on that journey. But particularly with, you know, with the cases of pastors, again, that's it's even more of an issue with them, because they're coming in and the issues that they're discerning are much bigger. And they often, again, as they enter the church, sometimes very quickly, they find themselves in very difficult situations. I mean, we have many men and women on the journey or who have already converted, who now in the church, and they jumped in the church very quickly, and they now have no way to support their family.
John, Mark, can I jump in here really quick? Is there any way
either
or both of you can hang on for a few minutes after the segment here? I mean, for the next segment, because we're about out of time for this segment. So hold on tight. Just a couple more minutes after we come back from the break. Mike Allen here with John Mark and Marcus Grody.
Great.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
We're here back on the Mike Allen Show. Me with my Fender guitar and the house band playing the theme music as we come here, as I'm blessed to be joined by John Mark Grody, who is the director of the Coming Home Network in Zanesville, Ohio. Check out the work at chnetwork.org, and his father, the patriarch, graybeard. No, actually, you don't have a beard, Marcus, but the president and founder of the Coming Home Network. John Mark, we were talking about, and y'all are gracious enough to stay on for a few more minutes here, but you were telling us a little bit before the music started cutting us off about some of the issues that the clergy are facing, who are struggling with the decision to become Catholic.
Yeah. Well, I think the best way just to sum it up is that there's a need of networking, you know, which is why we're the Coming Home Network. There's so many good resources out there, but what people often need most is a personal connection. You know, not the general connection of being spoken to, you know, by a generalized resource, but they need some Catholic connections. They need some other Christians, the Catholics who are very discernibly Christians, who can talk to them, who can understand why they're making this journey, who can walk with them and pray for them and help them get connected to the right people. So sort of an apostolate of friendship, which, although, you know, even in my father's case, obviously the Coming Home Network wasn't around on his way in. You know, he met so many of his former seminary buddies who had become Catholic. He was meeting other guys. And he was recognizing the need to have those connections. And so that's the need that we see, and that's the need that we're trying to fill.
That's fantastic. One of the things we started touching on a little bit during the break, sometimes those are the best conversations, the ones that don't happen on air. But, you know, it's I'm sure an interesting dynamic. As myself, a father, I think my oldest daughter now is 24, and I'm going through that transition with some of my older children to where, of course, I'll always be their dad, but it also develops almost into more of a peer relationship in some ways, in terms of the types of things that you can talk about and how your relationship grows and matures. The two of you now working together, with the Coming Home Network, each, I'm sure, even though you share a biological connection, you're your own person, you have your own temperaments and personalities. How has working together, I guess, in ministry deepened your relationship? How maybe has it challenged your relationship? How do you each bring your own gifts and so forth? I'll let the first brave one to wants to jump in on that one.
Oh, well, maybe John Mark needs to share what it's like to work for an old grumpy father. But I have to say, Mike, that when I look at, you know, I'm 64 now, and the Beatles had it right, you know, and when I think of their old song, When I'm 64, I'm trying to understand whether what they said way back when was true. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to go listen to the song When I'm 64 by the Beatles. But by God's mercy and grace, over these years, I've learned how much of a flawed person I am. And I've learned what it means to be a leader. And I'm not saying in any way that I'm the perfect model of that, but I've learned that the key of it is service. And to try and be a servant to others. It's not about getting on top. It's not about being in charge. It's not about getting your way done. It's trying to learn how to understand what this weird word means, humility, which isn't natural for any of us, maybe more natural for other people. But so when I think about the privilege of having my son moving into this opportunity, you know, part of my goal is to let him have the opportunity to express himself and to express his ideas, but not too quickly, in the sense that he's a young man and he's just turned 29, and he's got a long way to go. And so part of the goal now is to allow him to have the position of being the COO of the organization, chief operating officer, but yet I'm still the one who bears the shoulder responsibility for the organization. So I'm not letting that pressure be on him yet. That's my job. But yet giving him as much opportunity to share his ideas. And one of the beauties that I've come to see is he's not in this position just because he's my son. He has his own deep commitment to Jesus Christ and evangelization, his own heart for that. And so I want him to be able to use those gifts that he's received from God to express them for the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just consider it a great privilege.
Hmm. John Mark, how about you?
Well, I mentioned earlier my adult conversion and what was involved with it. And, you know, the underlying impetus for it was that I knew my dad and I knew many other people we were coming in contact with who loved Jesus. You know, they had a very personal connection with Christ, enough that they would make the sort of ridiculous journey of seeking out and entering the Catholic Church. So that was an important piece of my life, that witness, and again, especially seeing it in my father. But then even, you know, I've been working in various capacities with Communion Network for over a decade now. And I remember way back at the start, for many years, even though as I was hearing these stories, up front, consciously, the main thing that the way I thought of it was more in terms of just the apologetics, just the issues, you know, just these different debating points. And that's kind of how I understood the work. And so as I began to ask my big questions and get into philosophy and stuff, I didn't see myself in the long term being involved with the Coming Home Network, because I was thinking in terms of kind of interdenominational, you know, debates. But over the years, I've just fallen more and more in love with the work because, again, what it comes down to, it's so much deeper than that. What it comes down to is that you have these people who love Christ so much. And sometimes there are some, you have to clear up some confusions, some misconceptions, or learn a bit, you know, learn more what the church teaches. But the driving force of the whole thing are people who love Jesus Christ. And so it's that work of being able to encounter those people and say, you know, you have this love for Christ, you know, and there's so much more here, and be able to share that love of Christ with them and to walk with them, finding the fullness. So many times we're working with people who, you know, put ourselves to shame, but we Catholics to shame in their devotion to Jesus Christ. And so that's the real heart of the work is you know, being a bridge for those people to find the fullness. And so again, but it comes down to that, back to that witness that I've had over the years with my father's relationship with Christ and his love for Christ that impelled him to come home to the church, but now has given him this heart to to build an organization to help others make a similar journey.
Well, it's like I said, it's a privilege to have you both on the show today. And of course, if I want the really juicy information, I probably need to bring Marilyn and Teresa onto the program, and we can get the full scoop.
Exactly.
and I put a link on the show's Facebook page to John Mark, your excellent blog, restatementoftheobvious.com. Really, really good. Deep things, a philosophical mind, obviously. And then I put a link, too, to Marcus's personal page, marcusgrodi.com, where you can find information, too, about his latest book, Life from Our Land, about their own personal journey of trying to discover a simpler life, which certainly is a challenge in this day and age. So, Marcus and John Mark, thank you so much for your ministry. I am literally eternally grateful for the gift of the Coming Home Network, and it's been great to hear your own personal witness and to see a great father-son duo. So thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Mike, for inviting us on the show. It was a great privilege.
All right. John Mark, take care as well, and we'll let you go. Thanks.
God bless. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, so check that out on the show's Facebook page. I put it on there. A link to John Mark's blog, Restatement of the Obvious, and Marcus's page as well, marcusgrodi.com. You can read about his book, Life from Our Land. I just can't say enough about the work that they do. It surely, like I said, made my journey at least a less lonely one. I'll say that. And we'll continue, hopefully, to have Matt Swaim on the program, who works with the Coming Home Network now, because it's an important work that they do. And you should check it out if you find yourself, perhaps, on a journey to the Catholic faith, or you want to support others in that. You can go to chnetwork.org. Let's spin the dial of catechism wheel. Let's go to random.org, our random number generator, and we'll spin up a number between 1 and 2865, total number of paragraphs in the catechism. And we will see what God's providence has in store, knowing, of course, that truth itself is never random, but always integrated within the panoramic totality of the faith. This is about the particular judgment. Death puts an end to human life as the time open to either accepting or rejecting the divine grace manifested in Christ. The New Testament speaks of judgment primarily in its aspect of the final encounter with Christ in his second coming, but also repeatedly affirms that each will be rewarded immediately after death in accordance with his works in faith. The parable of the poor man and Lazarus and the words of Christ on the cross to the good thief, as well as other New Testament texts, speak of a final destiny of the soul, a destiny which can be different for some and for others. In other words, human freedom matters. And this life is not a dress rehearsal. And as long as we have breath in our bodies, we are in the time open to either accepting or rejecting the divine grace manifested in Christ. While it is today, we need to open our hearts to the grace of God in Christ, because God respects our freedom. Whether we choose openness to Him and His love, or we choose to separate ourselves, He will respect it. That's a sobering thought. By God's grace, I'll be back with you tomorrow. This is the Mike Allen Show. You've been listening to Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.